today, is BlackRock an ESG canary? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World, and latest posts covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. When the world's largest fund manager tells its clients that it plans to swiftly exit its thermal coal investments over the next 6 months, this should tell us something really important. BlackRock manages around $7 trillion of funds on behalf of investors, and up to now has been cautious in its response to climate change and slow to participate in investor campaigns. But that just changed for good economic reasons. Recent analysis published by the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, the IEEFA, estimated that BlackRock lost as much as $90 billion in investment value due to poor investments in fossil fuel companies in 2019. The IEEFA assessment also found that investments in just four fossil fuel companies, ExxonMobil, Chevron, Royal Dutch Shell, and BP, accounted for around three quarters of the $90 billion loss. Now, in a letter to clients, BlackRock's Global Executive Committee, led by company founder and CEO Lawrence Fink, has explained that the company would be withdrawing its investments in thermal coal producers, including any company that sources more than a quarter of its revenue from thermal coal production. Announcements of this kind have come out steadily over the past couple of years. Virtually all the major Australian and European banks and insurance and many other global institutions have already announced such policies. According to the Unfriend Coal campaign, insurance companies have stopped covering roughly $8.9 trillion of coal investments, which is more than one third, actually 37%, of the coal industry's global assets, and have stopped offering reinsurance to 46% of them. A separate letter to CEOs starts with a clear reference to BlackRock's fiduciary duty to its investors. BlackRock's own analysis shows global financial markets will be materially impacted by climate change, reflected in the Bank of England's analysis of $20 trillion at risk. BlackRock concludes that this stranded asset risk is not yet priced into the market. So as a fiduciary, BlackRock really has no choice but to act. They say thermal coal is significantly carbon intensive, becoming less and less economically viable and highly exposed to regulation because of its environmental impacts. With the acceleration of the global energy transition, they say, we do not believe that the long-term economic or investment rationale justifies continued investments in this sector. As a result, we are in the process of removing from our discretionary active investment portfolios the public securities, both debt and equity, of companies that generate more than 25% of their revenues from thermal coal production, which we aim to accomplish by the middle of 2020. Environmental, social, and governance, the ESG criteria, are indeed coming to the fore. Environmental, a set of standards for a company's operations that considers how a company performed as a steward of nature. Social, which examines how a company manages relationships with employees, suppliers, customers, and the communities where it operates. And governance, how it deals with a company's leadership, executive pay, audits, internal controls, and shareholder rights. As part of our process of evaluating sectors with high ESG risks, we are also closely scrutinising other businesses that are heavily reliant on thermal coal as an input in order to understand whether they are effectively transitioning away from this reliance. The move will see the investment giant dump around $500 million in thermal coal investments. And firms should note that BlackRock is going to flex its influence, given the groundwork we've already laid engaging on disclosure and the growing investment risks surrounding sustainability. We will be increasingly disposed to vote against management and board directors when companies are not making sufficient progress on sustainability-related disclosures and the business practices and plans underlying them, Fink said. So BlackRock's Fink seems to have figured out the huge impact that climate change will have, not just on money, but the world. Will cities, for example, be able to afford their infrastructure needs as climate risks reshape the market for municipal bonds, Mr. Fink wrote in his letter. What will happen to the 30-year mortgage, a key building block of finance, if lenders can't estimate the impact of climate risk over such a long timeline, and if there is no viable market for flood or fire insurance in impacted areas? What happens to inflation and in turn interest rates if the cost from food climbs from drought and flooding? How can we model economic growth if emerging markets see their productivity decline due to extreme heat and other climate impacts, he said. And BlackRock also announced that it would join the Climate Action 100+ initiative that supports investors to actively engage with the companies they're invested in to assess, disclose and address the risk that climate change and the energy transition poses to the company and the value of investments. The Climate Action 100+ initiative includes the Australian-based investor group on climate change, which supports Australian institutions. In 2019, the UK-based think tank Influence Map released a report that showed BlackRock was the leader of the asset management pack in terms of fossil fuel ownership. As at June 2018, the oil, gas and thermal coal reserves controlled by fossil fuel producers it holds represented an aggregate 9.5 gigatons of carbon dioxide emissions, equivalent with just under half of these emissions in thermal coal and equivalent to 30% of total global energy-related carbon emissions back in 2017. Among the 10 asset management groups with the largest aggregate funds asset under management, BlackRock holds the most coal-intensive portfolios, the report said. By the way, a minus 100% in the table dictates full divestment, while positive values indicate adding coal to the portfolio during the period of 2011 to 2016. However, there are key differences between BlackRock's passively and actively managed funds, the report notes. The group's passively managed funds show a thermal coal intensity in 2018 of 680 tonnes per US million dollars, asset under management, while its actively managed funds showed a much lower 300 tonnes, well below the global fund benchmark. And significantly, ESG investment strategies are growing in profitability, with new geographic trends adding to their value, according to Amundi Asset Management, who analysed the performance of 1,700 companies across five investment universes. Their research, ESG Investing in Recent Years, New Insights from Old Challenges, found that ESG strategies tended to penalise ESG investors between 2010 and 2013, but rewarded investors after 2014. We have observed a massive mobilisation of institutional investors on ESG, they said. The global responsible investment pool is estimated now to be 30.7 trillion US dollars, or two-fifths of assets under management. This is a 34% growth in 2 years. But here is the problem. Most of the money that BlackRock manages is wrapped up in passive investments which track indices. Indices tend to contain the shares of the sort of companies that BlackRock's active arm is now divesting from. So exactly what can BlackRock do about this? Is this more than greenwash? Well, Mr. Fink has said that BlackRock will be doubling its offerings of ESG EFTs and will work with index providers to expand and improve the universe of sustainable indices. The company will also simplify the process by which investors can integrate ESG into their existing portfolios by adding a fossil fuel screen and also expand its impact investment strategy. But the contradiction between the company's new active stance and the passive replication of an energy-heavy index such as Australia's is obvious. One solution might be for large mining companies such as BHP to dump their coal assets in order to remain part of both BlackRock's actively managed stock picking and passively managed all stocks portfolios. This was discussed in a recent The Conversation article. Another might be the development of index funds from which firms reliant on fossil fuels are excluded. It is even possible that the compilers of stock market indices will themselves exclude these firms. But once bond investors follow the lead of BlackRock and other financial institutions, divestment in Australian government bonds will likely follow. This process has already started with the decision of Sweden's central bank to unload its holdings of Australian government bonds. Taken in isolation, Sweden's move had virtually no effect on Australia's bond prices and yields. But the most striking feature of the divestment movement so far is the speed at which it has grown from symbolic gestures to a severe constraint on funding for the firms it touches. The fact that the Adani Corporation was unable to find a single bank willing to fund its Carmichael mine is an indication of the pressure that will come to bear. The effects might be felt before large-scale divestments take place. Ratings agencies such as Moody's and Standard & Poor's are supposed to anticipate risks to bondholders before they materialise. Once there is a serious threat of large-scale divestment in Australian bonds, the agencies will be obliged to take this into account in setting Australia's credit rating. The much-prized AAA rating is likely to be an early casualty. And that would mean higher interest rates for Australian government bonds, which would flow through the entire economy, including the home mortgage rates mentioned in the BlackRock statement. So the government's case for doing nothing about climate change, other than cashing in on past efforts, has been premised on the economy wrecking costs of serious action. But as investments associated with coal are increasingly seen as toxic, we run an increasing risk that the interaction will cause greater damage. So yes, BlackRock's announcement is a real wake-up call, like it or not. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again in the next one.